Our star guest today has had a career in theatre spanning over 50 years. He's been an actor, a producer, a general manager, and a press agent, and all after only 1 year of college. Albert Poland moved to New York City, and the rest, as they say, is history. Well, Albert's been on the programme before. If you were with us a few months ago, you may remember his wonderful tribute to Dame Maggie Smith. But now, talking all about himself. Albert Poland, welcome back to Community Connections.
Happy to be with you.
Albert, you've had some life, haven't you? But where did it all start?
It all started with me being bored with my Republican family and living in the Midwest in the 50s. I retreated into show business. I lived in the movie magazines. I loved the early television stars who really were fugitives from vaudeville. And the style they developed in vaudeville, the For the People style, was perfect for our living rooms. And they're the people that gave television in the United States its first golden age. And I also thought that people in show business seemed to have a need to be loved, which I felt I needed to be loved too. So I had a great identification.
So really, it was that box in the corner that brought all the entertainment to your very small part of America.
The box in the corner and the box on the screen in the local neighborhood theater.
Was there a great television following at that time amongst you and your friends, or was it quite unique for you?
It was the 50s. Families were just beginning to have television, and there were only one or two TV networks. So, the next day we all had something in common to talk about. And that, of course, is gone because now there are hundreds of things to watch. And no one has watched the same thing, which is kind of sad. The other major factor in me going into show business was Judy Garland. I went to see A Star Is Born, and for many years I looked at my life as before and after A Star Is Born. She really changed my life. I sat through it three times, just in complete awe of what I was watching, and I started a fan club for her. It was her first official fan club, believe it or not. I called her up on the telephone because the movie magazines wouldn't print our address unless we had a letter from her. And 2 weeks later, one arrived, and the fan club then had thousands and thousands of members. In fact, there's even a British chapter that I think is still kind of around now.
What was it about Judy Garland? There were so many actresses and actors around that time, but she really captured the heart of the world, not just a nation.
I think she had someone that no one else had. You were watching pure performing genius, but you also felt that the person up there needed you. You felt needed by this genius that you were watching on the stage. I think that's part of it. And her instrument, her vocal instrument, was unlike any that anyone else has ever had. To hear her in person, to hear on a recording doesn't tell you the half of it. When you heard her in person, the voice was just enormous and rich. The overtone was, her head tones were just magical.
So, really, we wouldn't have had the Albert Poland career if it wasn't really for Judy Garland.
I think you can say that. And I dedicated my career to her. I aspired in my own work to reach the standard that she reached in most of her work.
Well, let's have a look at that work that you did and the life that you lived. You grew up in this Republican family. You had the box in the corner and the movie theatre down the street. But how did you make that move? Were your family supportive of your forays into performance?
No, my family was largely resistant to it. They wanted me to go to college for 4 years, and you pointed out I did go for one, during which I did four productions and very little schoolwork. I didn't like the schoolwork, and I stayed up all night with a friend who had directed my last production. We said, "What are we doing? Let's go to New York. We won't have to do schoolwork. We can just do shows." And that's what we did.
When you arrived in the big city, where did you live? What did you do?
On the west side, in a series of inexpensive apartments, they were about $80 a month for three rooms. I mean, maybe the first 10 years I lived in the city, you could have a wonderful life for virtually no money. It was just magic. When my mother visited me, she observed that the city seemed to be for the very rich or the very poor. And I at that time was the very poor, and really having a wonderful life. You could go to shows, you could, go to Max's Kansas City, and just have a wonderful time.
How were you supporting yourself then, Albert, back then? Were you doing little jobs around the place, trying to work in the theatres?
I typed 100 words a minute on many occasions. And there was a company called Bliss Display that gave me jobs doing puppet shows in department store windows.
Wow, you really have done it all when it comes to entertainment, haven't you?
Well, it was really fun because I was doing Filene's in Boston, and Fade Out, Fade In was there. The Carol Burnett musical was trying out. And the in thing for them to do between rehearsals was to come and watch me in the department store window. Because I did some sort of hip things that I don't think Lanvin perfume had in mind, but people who were watching got them, you know.
From puppets, how did you actually become an actor? What put you on the stage?
Well, I appreciate your saying that I became an actor. My parents begged me to please go to school when I came to New York because they wanted the respectability of saying that their son was in school. So I went to the American Theater Wing, and to, become an actor. My dream was to be a musical comedy star. I did a nightclub act. I did three seasons of stock. I did a road company of the Sound of Music, but I was very impatient with my progress. I wanted something bigger than what was happening for me. And I fell into producing and managing. I fell into the business end of it. And I've always been one to read the road signs, and they were pointing me in that direction. And that was absolutely the right career for me. Because, the people I know who've made it as actors and stars, it's almost a life and death matter. And I really didn't feel that way about it. But I love talent. It's my big passion, starting with Judy. And I love putting it on the stage and making it possible. I did 103 shows in 43 years. And then I said, well, I've had enough of that. And so I retired in 08.
I'm not sure you're completely retired yet, though, Albert, are you? You still got your fingers in the mix, haven't you?
Well, I'm living in the Actors Fund home, and it was a good move. I thought it out very carefully. I've been here since the fall of 22. And I'm very active here. I brought Alan Menken here. He entertained. And, I'm living on the Cameron McIntosh floor. And of course, I told Cameron I knew him before he had become a floor. And he said, what kind of gift did I want? Would I like a swimming pool or a revival of Follies? He has one of the most wicked wits, and still has it to this day. I did Cameron's first two shows in New York. They were off Broadway before Cats, and we were sharing offices. We just, adored each other immediately and shared offices for a couple of years. And by the time Les Mis came in, he needed a larger space. He asked me to come along, but I just thought I would be swallowed up, so I stayed behind in our small space. But we've remained very, very good friends. He's been a wonderful friend, very loyal friend.
I guess, in a way, both of you being producers, you share something that not many people actually share. So many people are actors and actresses and stage crew, but being producers, it must be quite a small group of people right at the top of their game.
You've hit that very well. It's gotten smaller in recent years. With costs going up, a number of people who were authentic producers became offended, by the financial aspect of it, and just stopped. Like, for instance, Hal Prince. Follies was the last thing he produced, but he continued to direct because the figures just offended him. Cameron is one of the few authentic producers that we have. And I must say he's the most successful producer in the history of the world, and that's a very wonderful thing. And he worked his way up. He learned by taking the best musicals on the road in England, and he rehearsed them, and he figured out how they were put together, what the structures were, and then he was able to apply that to his original productions, which we don't have to say were successful beyond anybody's belief, you know.
I think one of the things that Cameron does is he does take risks at times. And did you find that you were having to take risks when you were a producer as well, Albert, and almost going out on a whim thinking, actually, yeah, I think this will work?
Well, I found that I wanted to, but you see, I was off Broadway. My formative years were all spent off Broadway. I worked off Broadway as a general manager. I think during the most exciting years of its history. It's much different now than it was. And we did very venturesome things there because we could afford to do them. You know, the costs were re reasonable. They no longer are.
You've said, haven't you, that the off-Broadway years were actually your favorite time of your life. Whether you had a hit or a flop didn't really matter. The process was so exhilarating and full of surprises for you.
Well, there was a wonderful sense of community. You know, we all helped each other. We all cheered each other on. It was just, you know, when I look back on it, I just feel so blessed. I feel blessed by my entire career, which is certainly a wonderful feeling to have, you know, when you're nearing the end of your time. I'm just very thankful for it. And I'm actually working on a second memoir. So we'll see what happens with that. And I enjoy the process. As I've said to somebody the other day, if it doesn't get published, it's fine. I'll put it in the drawer and I will have enjoyed writing it.
Your first memoir is actually out at the moment. Albert, what's it called?
It's called Stages, a theater memoir. And it's a memoir of my career. I wanted to give people an intimate close-up of the process of what doing a show is really like. You know, the foibles, the things that happen by complete whim that turn out to be genius, you know, all of that. And I think I succeeded, and the response has been fantastic. You know, all the reviews have really been kind of raves. So it's been very gratifying because it's a nice capper for my career, you know.
When you look back on your career, have you got one highlight that really sticks out above all the rest?
You know, I'm frequently asked that, and the answer to it is I have several for different reasons. Little Shop of Horrors was the most exhilarating experience because I brought the Schuberts off Broadway, and Cameron was one of the producers, David Geffen. You know, that was very, very exciting. And it was a huge worldwide hit. You know, we ran for 5.5 years, and as a result of it, Howard Ashman and Alan Menken went to Disney and began a renaissance there that was the biggest successes they've had. So there was that. There was a show called One Mo' Time. We played at the Cambridge Theatre in London, actually, to great success. It was about a musical about black vaudeville. I would say that was my happiest experience. It ran for 3.5 years at the Village Gate, which is a place I love to work. It was a huge nightclub in Greenwich Village. The Grapes of Wrath, I think, was the artistic high point of my career. We won the Tony Award deservedly. It was just a thing of great beauty. Doing Long Day's Journey and Tonight with Vanessa Redgrave, you know, I felt her performance was the best I've ever seen on the stage. Working with Robert Fox and Hugh Jackman and Ben Gannon on The Boy from Oz, you know, again, an enormous hit, and we watched Hugh becoming a huge Broadway star. And he's the nicest person you can imagine, you know. And I love Robert. We're very, very good friends. Ben unfortunately left us shortly after the production, but he was a gem. He was an Australian gentleman.
It must be very gratifying to you, and I'm taking the example of Hugh Jackman, of knowing somebody before they become as famous as they are, but realizing what they're like as that person underneath, and you almost go on that journey with them.
Yes, you do. You know, I had an email from Hugh about a week ago. I saw the preview of his upcoming movie, and it looks wonderful. It's about Neil Diamond. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a trailer out of it, and I thought it was brilliantly done. It looked so promising, and I just sent him a brief email saying how great it was, and he wrote me back and thanked me. You know, that's the kind of person he is. You know, he takes the time to care.
Is there still amongst theatre people a support network to help those that are coming up? Because a number of people contact me on the programme and they say, you know, we love the interviews, we love hearing the people that you're talking to, but how do we really work to get to that level? Is there any advice you can give them?
Sadly, I think much less so than when, you know, I was starting out and having my career. There's not so much a sense of community because it's become so much about money. You know, instead of one or two people who are authentic producers, you have 25 people who wrote checks and take billing and sit in on the meetings. And as the general manager, you must listen to all of them. And I just became bored and angry with it, and it's one reason I left the business. You know, I do think that this past season has been, you know, quite wonderful. I watched the Tony Awards. I don't get to see many things, and it's fine. But I watched the Tony Awards, and I thought the music, I thought the musicals did not sound like stale Sondheim, and the singers did not sound like they were on America's Got Talent. Which is the way they've been sounding to me in recent years. And I was very, very pleased to notice that.
Is there a revival then in the quality of musicals, do you think?
I do. I think, with the emphasis going on finances in the theater, then Broadway has to find a new identity. It has to adjust, you know, and it's going to have a momentary period where it may be uninspired or lackluster. But I think it's finding its way into being creative and productive and interesting in this new structure, in the new world we have.
Well, that's a very positive way to draw our conversation to a close. Albert, can I thank you so much for spending the time? We wish you the very best in your continued retirement, in inverted commas, because an actor doesn't die, they just move on to a different role. Is that not the right saying?
It's good enough.
Albert Poland, it's been an absolute pleasure. Come back on again, particularly when part two of your memoir is available. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for all the joy that your work has brought to so many people over so many decades. I think Judy Garland would be extremely proud of you.
That's the nicest thing you can say.
The night is bitter, the stars have lost their glitter, the winds grow colder, suddenly you're older, and all because of the man that got away. Done you, that great beginning has seen a final inning. Don't know what happened, it's all a crazy game. Every trick of his, you're all. suffer. It's lonelier and tougher with hope you burn up. Tomorrow he will turn up. There's just no let up the livelong night and day. Looking for the man that got away.